if we can get more of, speak to more of those people to bring into your events, then you can still help the people who can't afford you while also helping and bringing in people, the ones that are going to convert into one-on-ones. Does that make sense?
Okay, yes.
So you're still going to attract the other people. They're going to come regardless, and you're going to enjoy working with them. But guess what? Your energy won't just be going into the void.
Yes.
It will be going to also helping you grow this other side of your business.
Welcome back to the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep more of what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your host today, Benjamin Foss, and unfortunately, Paul is not able to be with us. He is buried in tax returns, as it is the end of March and the very peak of the chaotic tax season. But we do have two very special guests today. We have returning guest, the lovely Sarah Ackerman.
Hello, hello.
And our new guest, Jen, welcome back to the show, or not welcome back, but welcome to the for the first time. And today we are introducing a little bit of a new format because we've been talking a lot about business and entrepreneurship and strategy. And when Sarah was on back in January or December, I believe, a couple months ago, she talked about business strategy and some of the ways that she helps businesses optimize their web presence, content strategy, messaging, and scaling. And so today we're going to give you a small snippet and sample of what Sarah does each and every day working with business owners and helping them maximize their business and make more money, which is what this show is all about. So Sarah, give us, for those who have not familiar with you, give us a brief like 30, 60 second intro on who you are and what you do and why people should care about listen to what you have to say. Exactly.
Hi, I'm Sarah. So I am like a marketing geek in all of the ways, but my niche is really in conversion optimization, digital strategy. And so what lights me up the most is helping work with other business owners to really find what lights them up and to then work on their positioning, their offerings, kind of what their kind of irresistible edge is, and then really helping them communicate that clearly online, particularly in their landing pages. So that's what I help people work on.
Awesome, Sarah. Well, it's great to have you back on the show. And Jen, tell us a little bit about what you do. You've got a few things going on, a couple of businesses. So give us the lowdown on what you have going on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. And I'm super excited that this is the first video edition of all of this. And I'm so grateful that Sarah does what she does, because you will see on my website that I am not very good at this part of the back end of running a business. Like so many of us entrepreneurs, when we have 12 different things that we're trying to do, the website is usually the last one that we play with.
Yeah.
So I'm Cuddle Jen. I own a professional cuddling practice in Arvada with an office space there where I see people that are touch starved and need some safe touch in their life. I'm also a real estate agent and focus heavily on homesteads and people that are looking to build income from their home. So lots of different ways that connection and community kind of come into the same space so that people can actually have all of their needs met once they speak for them.
I love that. And you brought up a couple key points. The first is that you ladies are both the first guests we've had on the video form of this podcast, which is super fun. But also for those of you who are audio only, we will have some visual aids with this week's show because we're going to be looking at the website and Sarah's going to be providing some feedback on ways that we can optimize the site and make it better. So for those of you who are audio only, you may want to pop over to the Making Money Podcast YouTube channel for this particular episode to kind of follow along and see the specific visual aspects of the show. So Sarah, take us away.
Cool. These all take on a life of their own. So we're just going to like dive in organically and see what comes up. I'm really here to just try to really dig in. I'm going to ask a lot of questions to really get a feel for what you've built, what you're trying to accomplish with your business, and then how I can put all those pieces together to meet the needs of your dream customers and then be able to communicate that and connect with them online. Yes. So that's the goal of all these million questions. But I'm just going to kind of go into it. So I wanted to first hear a little bit more about just the history of this business. Doesn't have to be the whole shebang, but, you know, just kind of what got you to where you are, why you started this whole thing. Let's just kind of start there.
Yeah, of course. So when I was having babies 12 years ago, my birth doula, Kara Messer, she runs the Birth Education Center in San Diego. She was hands down the single most influential person in my life. And she said, Jen, you know, you're going to have babies out of the place where you may have been abused before, and we've got to work on that touch trauma. And I said, no, we're not working on that. That's not going to work for me. And she says, okay, then you're going to end up with a C-section, which is not what you want. And how can we make sure that you are safely touched during your pregnancy and birth experience in a way that is healthy and healing? And I said, okay, what's the next step? And she's like, well, we're going to do some work, but afterwards, for several years, you're going to take some time to really get some safe touch. And I said, I don't know what that means. What are you talking about? And she's like, well, we're going to send you some community cuddles. And I said, okay, tell me more. What do you mean? And she says, you're going to gather with a group of consenting adults to cuddle with each other. And you're going to come back and we're going to talk about how that impacted you. And I said, wow. Oh, no, that sounds like a terrible idea. I don't even like people that much. So I'm not going to cuddle with them.
And I imagine most people's first response to hearing that for the first time is like, is this a cult?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Is this a cult? What kind of drugs are they doing? Like, yeah. What? This is not what I'm into. So I moved out here. And 7 years ago, I reached back out to my birth doula and I said, okay, I think I'm finally ready for some safe touch. Tell me where to go. She put me in touch with Cassandra Brown, and Cassandra Brown runs the community cuddles up in Boulder. And I said, I need to come to one of these. All right, come on down. Friday, we're having one, and we'd love to have you. I left the next day, and I said, I thought this was a sober event. I'm like high right now. I'm buzzing. What is going on? What did you put in the water? Right. What happened? She's like, that's your neurochemistry. That's the regular brain and body connection of your serotonin and your dopamine and your oxytocin, and you're high on your own body right now.
Wow.
And I said, okay, you need to tell me more. COVID hit. We were the only people in town that could touch people safely. And it was real tricky. And I said, okay, tell me how to sign up. How do I do this for a living? How do I bring this kind of feeling to more people that are dying of loneliness? And that's what started my journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick. What is a birth doula?
Yeah. So she is a woman's helper. Doula means a helper.
Okay.
And she helps through the entire birth process as well as anything in the beginning of that whole pregnancy. So she really walks you through how the birth looks, what you want to advocate for yourself, and is there for you just after birth.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Man, I needed the first time I saw like a brand new newly born baby.
Yeah.
No one warned me about the cone head situation.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And the like bluish skin.
Yeah.
And I turned to my friend who, you know, him and his partner just had a kid. I was like, is everything okay? Like,
oh my gosh.
They're the skull is malleable. I was like, the skull is what? Excuse me? You know, just no one told me these things. So it's, you think you know everything, you know, and then you don't. And so having someone to help you along with that process of pregnancy and birth and all that is super helpful.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I'm like, I mean, I had a feeling just like speaking with you, but I get really fired up when people have a story where they have lived the experience of their clients.
Yeah.
And that is why they're doing what they're doing. And I think there's a true, people can feel that.
Yes.
And I think that makes me really excited to dive in a little bit more with you, that you have that story behind what you've built with this business, and people can resonate with that exact same story or a similar story and want to work with you for that reason. I wanted to go into a little bit about what your business model kind of looks like, because I mean, I literally took, like I said, 30 second look at your website. I do have it up right now. We'll kind of go into that side of things, but I wanted to understand more about the services. I saw you had a few, but I wanted to understand what's the breakdown currently, you know, if you're comfortable sharing, like how many clients you have, or is it a lot of one-on-one work? Is it ongoing? Or is it the group stuff? What do you got going on right now? And I want to understand where you want to take that. Yeah. Where are you trying to grow your business, and how do you want that to look in the future?
Beautiful, a ton of questions. We're going to have to go over those again.
It's really Yeah, it's really just, let's start with what your current business model looks like and kind of the split of the different services you're offering.
Yeah, totally. So right now I'm running 70-30, 70% being individual sessions with just one solo person. And that other 30% is always going to be with that Community Cuddles event that happens once or twice a month. And then here and there, there's some Etsy like printables that happen. They're also listed on the website that do maybe one or two sales a month. Not profitable by any means, but they're there. So
sure. Sounds good. And so with the one-on-ones, are these recurring? How many of these, do you prefer customers, clients? I can use whatever word you
call.
Clients. Yeah. Yeah. What percentage of those clients are recurring? Do you have any like type of subscription services, like monthly?
I don't. Okay. People have asked recently, just in the last quarter, in Q1 and Q4 of last year, if we would have a subscription service coming soon. And I was like, something I need to explore.
We're gonna. Okay.
I have a question. When you're trying to set up a business like this, how do you go about determining something like pricing for a service that's so unique and doesn't have a ton of things to compare against?
Yeah, I do a lot of market research in other cities. So other cities that have similar demographics as us, as well as similar populations. So when I studied it, I was looking at Boston and Chicago and Tampa and San Diego and a lot of these varying places that are like mid-sized cities that have 600,000 to a million people, and looking at what these people and their median income is allowing for them to spend on things that are not necessities. Like, where do they have the flexibility to spend money on this? So when I priced it out, we're definitely not at Los Angeles prices. We're not at San Francisco prices, but we're at Denver prices and Chicago prices.
Yeah, I think we can get into pricing. I think that's a good thing that I want to get into. And I think that where you've started is a great foundation. And I want to dive into kind of your niche and your value and if you're on the right track with that pricing. I want to get down to the nitty gritty of, you know, where are you at with capacity in terms of your business? Where are you trying to get in terms of maybe number of clients or maybe a revenue number, so that I can help you try to bridge the gap maybe of where we're at?
Awesome. So last year I just ran my numbers because tax season, I increased my business by 353%.
Hell yeah.
Last year.
Let's go.
So I love
that. That is freaking amazing.
Huge growth.
Congrats.
And that equaled 99 client sessions last year. Okay. So I do have capacity for more. I don't know that I want to go more than double. I think that I can facilitate 200 client sessions a year while still giving to the clients that I currently have. My recurring clients, they are about 12 right now. And that can vary from weekly clients to every 3 months.
Weekly to every 3 months. How long are your typical one-on-one sessions?
2 to 3 hours.
Okay. Go ahead.
Before we dive into the growth, I want to know, like, up to this point, how have you gotten your clients? What has been your primary acquisition? Is it cold outreach, advertising, word of mouth?
I cannot stand cold outreach, first of all, both in this industry and in real estate. Like, I cannot stand cold calls.
Hey, Tim, do you want to cuddle? That could be an awkward conversation.
No, not happening. Yeah.
But how have you built your business up to this point?
Yeah, so we have a listing serve that is through Cuddlist.com, as well as CuddleComfort.com.
Okay.
And clients find me from both of those places. And I'm finally to a point in my business after running this for 5 years that I'm getting referral business. So I'd say 30% of my business are people sharing out in their Reddit communities or in their sub threads where they're like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. And they're coming back.
Are you getting reviews on these platforms?
I'm not on those platforms. I'm getting them on my Google business page.
Cool. That's really valuable. Yeah.
Do those platforms offer reviews?
They do offer reviews, but they're all anonymous. So they're all based on screen names that don't translate to other people's names.
Sure, that makes sense.
And would you say, just to confirm, the 30% of the is the referral, and then 70% you're saying is probably all
coming from these other places.
These places, okay. And so you're not running any like ads right now, or just clarifying. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Are your prices on Cuddlist and these other?
They are.
So they're reaching out to you, knowing the pricing up front.
They do. Okay. Yeah.
And when they find you through Cuddlist, I just want to make sure I understand. Are they coming to your website or do they book through that platform?
They book through that platform. They actually reach out through that platform, but then they come to me to communicate, and it's up to me to reach out to them in a certain amount of time, text them, email them, phone call, video call them, and say, hey, let's do an intro call to see if we're a good fit, and then I book them.
Sorry, so walk me through the exact process. They find you on Cuddlist, is that? Okay.
Yep.
And it's just like a listing amongst other, who else is on there?
It's a worldwide listing. So anyone in the world that is a trained and certified cuddle professional Amazing. Can be listed on there. Okay. And we just got a new website. We're very excited that has a map. So it's been open for like 2 weeks. So people can click on the Denver map and they'll see four or five of us professionals on there. They click on me and they fill out like a Google form. It goes through Cuddlist.
Yeah.
Cuddlist takes it and looks it over and flags it for anything that may come through that's not appropriate for our work, and then they'll send it out. And I get an email in my inbox that says, you have a new cuddle request. And I reach out to that person via phone, and I usually text them a couple different times that work, and we hop on a video call.
And do they take a portion of the fee, or how does that work?
I pay $40 a month to be listed on their website.
Okay.
Cuddle Comfort does take a fee. So they take a 15% booking fee if the client comes to me through that website. But I do not pay.
Do you know the split approximately of Cuddlist versus Cuddle Comfort?
Oh, I'd say 90% of my business comes through Cuddlist.
Got it. Okay. Got
yeah.
It. Cool. Okay. This like changes a lot about the role of your website right now in your current business model. I don't believe that like a lot of people are coming to your site. Would that be accurate to assume?
There's a lot of people coming to the website. To your site?
Yeah, who
There's
is currently...
a lot of people. They're not converting, and they're looky-loos. They're like people that want to see, they want to check it out, but there's no like they're not converting. There's a few signups on my newsletter. I'd say less than 12, but they're not coming to my website specifically for that.
Cool.
How are people finding your website? Yeah, is it primarily through search, or is it linked on Cuddlist? Or?
It can't be linked on Cuddlist. Okay. So it's me telling them, hey, I have a website. Go check it out. You can see testimonials there. You can see my about me. You can see how to book me, what our waiver looks like. But it's usually just an information hub. Like they're not booking through this at all. They can. It's set up through Calendly also. But they don't book through it.
Is there just, this is like super quick tangent. Is there a way when you get a new request from Cuddlist that you can trigger automatically an email to send those people, like to send your website and be like, hey, I'll get to you, but while you're waiting for me, like specifically, or while you're waiting for our call, whatever, like check out my website.
Not yet. Okay. There is with this new website, they're beta testing it right now and it will be coming in the next 2 weeks. So that's this timing of this is perfect. Because I will want that as soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah, because we want to strike when interest is highest, which is at the point where they've
exact. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm trying to figure out how we can bridge that gap. But okay, great. I just want to understand the role of your website a little bit more versus what it sounds like is a platform that I unfortunately can't control or you can't control.
Yeah.
But sounds like you're getting a lot of leads from, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
So, and then the referral piece. We're going to dive into that. It's great that you're already doing 30%. Sounds like that's something that we can even expand on.
Yeah.
One more quick question on the website. Do you have any numbers about the traffic you're getting, like monthly unique visitors or any of that?
On my website?
Yeah.
I can pull it up on my back end.
Do you have like an approximate number?
It's okay. That'd be something for later because I'd be curious to see, you know, what a lot means. We're talking dozens, hundreds, thousands.
Last I saw, there was a 1K next to it.
Okay.
So there's at least 1,000 in the last... Oh, but I don't know what the filter was set to, so I don't know if it was filtered to week or month, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can...
Okay, that gives us a rough ballpark, because I was curious, because it's like, oh, I'm getting 30 a month, it's like, not converting, it's like, okay, well, traffic is the problem, but if like, you're getting 30,000 a month, it's not converting, well, that's a whole nother...
Yeah.
Right.
That's a whole nother thing.
Different numbers.
Definitely. Regardless, I still think there's a lot that we can handle on your website, even if you had zero traffic, but your goal was thousands. Like there's still, I would still want you to have a better foundation than you have today. So it's still going to be a good conversation, but it is good to look into the data when you do have it of sessions are the major, one of the major things to be looking at. And then conversions and conversion rate is like the biggest ones that I like to look at.
Okay. And you said, you know, people are finding through search. Have you done SEO yourself or, okay, so you've done SEO and then are you doing any paid ads right now?
Not doing paid ads.
Okay. Just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah. Cool.
Great.
Awesome. Okay, so you have these one-on-one clients, and you served 99 of them when you were 350% Xing or 3.5Xing your business in this past year. Yes.
Yes.
And so next this year, did you mention specific goals, or do you have any specific goals?
I'd love to double that.
Double that.
Okay. Yeah.
Which would then get you to that 200. Mm-hmm. However, you're saying that's your max.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to understand, I think that's a great goal, and that like that does max you. From there,
yeah.
What would be next for you? Like, let's say we're at the end of 2025 and you hit that goal. Like, what would you be envisioning next? Would you want to grow from there, or would you be like really happy at that point?
I would back off and do more mentorship.
Mentorship.
Yeah. So I do business coaching right now for newer people that are in this industry where they have no idea how to hold a boundary. They're not quite sure even how to book. They're not sure how to run an intro call or to screen people out. And they're coming to me after something has already happened. And I love helping them, but I would like to get to them before that happens. So after a year where I've met that goal of seeing 200 sessions a year, I would love to transition more to mentorship, coaching,
love
teaching
that.
The skills.
That is called leverage. We love that. Okay. So, awesome. And then when it comes to when it comes to the group stuff, because that is also, I'm seeing, obviously I'm a big proponent of like group settings being more of a transformational experience from my experience of like just this type of thing, because when we have more than one person in a room, I feel like it facilitates more of a transformation than sometimes just one-on-one. Right. So I, not only do I think that's a great medium for that type of thing, but I also, again, think that there's a lot of leverage there with in terms of you being able to grow, to multiply your impact, mm-hmm. right? While giving the same amount of effort.
Yes.
So how are you feeling about the group side of your business, and is that something you're also looking to grow, like in terms of what lights you up the most? Do you really prefer the one-on-one, or are you also interested in building the group, the events?
Both. So okay. I love that you asked, because they're very different skills to be able to facilitate a group versus holding a one-on-one session. And there's overlap, but they're different. And you're right, there's a barrier to entry for a lot of people that come in because they can't afford $120 an hour, but they can afford a $30 4-hour kind of immersive experience into this space. So last year I canceled 3 events. We only have 12 a year, but I canceled 3 because there was low enrollment and there was no way that it was going to happen. I always hold it on the last Friday of the month. Unfortunately, Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year's kind of all play into those last few, and Memorial Day. So we recognize that we have to change the time or the date. What I'm now running into, there was an energetic block at my prior place of business, and I wasn't willing to energetically bring people into that space because I didn't want them getting sick. So there was mold that was growing underneath the flooring, and I recognized that, and I said, oh my gosh, I have had mold toxicity. I don't want to bring any new clients in here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Once I cleared that block and I moved into a new location, I doubled the size of the group. So I knew, okay, this is great. Now we're back to a place where there's like 15 tops, maybe 20 people coming. And I said, my space can hold 30. What are we doing? I know there's more people out there that need us. I know that they have heard of me, or they've seen, we were on the cover of Westward for a month ago, and it was amazing. And we have so many new people coming on Friday night, actually, but there's still more room for growth. And those people will have the ability to learn more from me. My colleague up in Boulder converts like 70% of those clients into one-on-one sessions. I convert maybe 10%. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? What is happening?
Wait, but when the people that come, do they feel like your ideal clientele, or do you feel like there's a misalignment with who's showing up?
I do feel like there's a misalignment.
Gotcha.
I feel like they are only there because that's all they can afford, so they can't justify $120 an hour. So it feels almost like there's two separate audiences that I'm serving. And I don't know how to bridge the two.
But then that's not ideal for lead flow into, mm-hmm. you know.
Not
and where
for
is
mine.
Are you in Arvada?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Boulder is its own thing.
There may legitimately be
an economic factor there.
I have thought this often.
Because even though Arvada is not that far from Boulder, it is economically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boulder is like a little pocket of SoCal in the foothills.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Very much so.
Cool. Okay, so I want to talk about the 12, 13, how many people did you say were your regulars right now?
Yeah, 12.
Okay, 12. I want to talk about these people. Mm-hmm. I want to understand everything we can about them so that we can attract more of them. But not just those, I want to know in your mind, if you can pick like maybe even the top 3 to 5 of them that you would like literally duplicate. Like if you could clone these people and work with more people just like them and you could times 50 of them to 50x your business, you know,
yeah,
then you would be ecstatic about it. So not the ones, so the ones who are have worked with you for a very long time, who value you, who you enjoy working with, and so you've gotten a lot of value from them in terms of financially, and you know, you love working with them, and they also are an aligned client for you. I don't want to hear about the ones who might be in that top 13 in terms of how long they've been with you, but you do not enjoy working with them, or you would not want to duplicate them.
Yes.
So let's talk about those people. Do you have in your mind a number of those people? Is there like maybe on your one hand?
Okay.
So obviously we don't need to name names, but I want to literally talk about these people. So yeah. I want to know, let's go through the very first one. Do you have a number one client? Like, do you have like a favorite client, or maybe just pick one of those people, people. Okay. How did they find you?
In that meetup.
Okay. And so they came to an event of yours?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Wait, are we talking community cuddles audience or are we talking one-on-one clients?
Your recurring customers. Well, of the recurring customers, are those the one-on-one recurring or are those group recurring?
They're both. So I have categories of one-on-one recurring and category of one-on-one or on community cuddle recurring.
Who do both of them have just as long lifetime value with you? So like for lifetime value being like if this one-on-one person had done 18 sessions with you times $100, it would be $1,800 lifetime value.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if someone went to an event eight times and they only paid $40, like, you know, you can see the difference there.
Right.
So I want to know, I want you to combine like love of working with them and alignment with also the value that they've, like how long they've been around and how much revenue they've produced for your business.
Okay. Those are very different categories for these people. So there are people that I super love working with.
Okay.
That come to my community cuddles.
Yeah.
That are like my avatar. They are my people. They are the ones that light me up. They are the ones that I show up at their family events. I go to their housewarming. I go to their baby showers. I go to their kids' graduations. Love them. They have never been an hourly one-on-one client. There's the other bucket of that one-on-one hourly clients that I see monthly that they light me up in a different way because I'm not seeing them only once a month. I'm seeing them for this long duration of 2 hours where it's just one-on-one and we can dive deep into some of their touch trauma and we can push through some of these triggers and we can hear more about their relationships and their life and their story. And I get updates on the women they're dating and then the business acquisitions that they're doing. Very different.
Okay, we're gonna
let's talk about both.
Yep.
Okay, great.
I have a strong opinion on this. We can talk about. We can talk about both. But you literally just told us that you have an issue with people coming to your events and people coming to your events you're seeing are not converting. Even these people that you love.
Yeah.
And I think you can still serve those people, but I want to know everything about the ones that you are like working with one-on-one frequently ongoing, because I feel like if we can get more of speak to more of those people to bring into your events, then you can still help the people who can't afford you while also helping and bringing in people, the ones that are going to convert into one-on-ones. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
So you're still going to attract the other people. They're going to come regardless and you're going to enjoy working with them. But guess what? Your energy won't just be going into the void.
Yes.
It will be going to also helping you grow this other side of your business.
Okay.
So, just amplifying, maximizing your impact here. So I want to talk about if you can think about just those people in the one-on-one segment, who are your best handful of customers, you just mentioned a few things. And I'm obsessed with the fact that you have gotten to know these people so deeply, because I can actually ask these questions about their life. I want to know. I've asked my clients to like look up their, I had like a salon owner like client, and I literally asked her to like social media stalk some of her best clients, and she was learning what they were saying on social. But you know, because you're like literally there talking to them. So let's go into it. You said something about like entrepreneurship even with these people. You said trauma. So let's dig in to what are the common themes around these people. It can be really helpful if we had 5 hours to go into each person's story. Mm-hmm. And I would literally have you dive in. I have exercises for this.
Yeah.
But for the sake of time, I feel like if we can just try to brainstorm some things they have in common, that's where I want to go.
Okay.
So you mentioned a couple of things around...
Oh, I totally know what they have in common.
Amazing. So let's hear it from you.
Yeah. So they are entrepreneurs.
They're all entrepreneurs.
They are people in their messy middle where they know they have shit to work on and they don't know how to get there. They're not the people that are in the beginning. They're like, oh, I'm totally fine. I don't have anything. I'm great. I don't have trauma. I'm not. Or they're not the gurus of the world that have done all of this spiritual work, that have addressed their touch trauma through EMDR or somatic experiencing. The people in the middle that have money to spend on their growth and on their progress, that also have really big goals and dreams in life that they're actively working towards, that this trauma and this touch stuff is blocking them from achieving.
Amazing. How many of them are in relationships? Or what percentage, roughly?
20%.
Okay, because you mentioned something they're telling me about the person they're dating. And because my first thought is like, man, like, we should, I mean, not to like put you out of business, but like if you have a partner, like you should be getting some of that from them, you know, I mean, ideally.
And that happens once our work is complete, we lose clients.
Yeah. So you graduate people.
We do. Yeah. And we work ourselves out of a job with them, intentionally knowing that they're going to take everything they learned with us out into the world with their partners, into their families, with their friend groups. And I'm like, okay, just refer me when you're ready.
You know what that tells me?
Yeah.
That what you do works.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I don't like the idea, because there are some people who for example, I've been to therapy. I've seen a handful of different therapists over the years and I'm a big advocate for it.
Yeah.
But there are some therapists who are perpetual.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some who are there really to try and give you tools to help you grow and manage your shit on your own.
Yes.
Knowing that eventually you won't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And I definitely prefer the latter. And that sounds like that's what you're doing, which is great, because there's always going to be more people with touch trauma and stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's 3 million people in Denver Metro. You're not going to run out of clients. But so
it's
I love
Hinge. I love that. It's designed to be deleted. That's it. You're exactly like Hinge, where it's you're not afraid to.
If Hinge works like they it was supposed to.
I think that your success rate is probably much higher than Hinge. Anyway. Okay. Okay, so entrepreneurship, this is very interesting to me. I did not think that you were going to say that. What type of entrepreneurship?
House stuff.
House stuff.
Yeah, so I typically see people that are tradespeople. They're in the business world, but they're on the blue collar.
Typically male?
Mm-hmm.
How much of a split, male, female?
80-20 right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
80%.
The other side of that, so I'd say 60% of that 80% of the male world is these tradespeople, and that other 40% are tech people that are stuck behind a desk that are doing startup stuff, but they're running the show, and they are so isolated from their coworkers or from their team that they're just behind a computer the entire time. They never get out.
Okay.
Until they come see me.
So there's some loneliness there for sure. Oh, yeah. And then with the blue collar, is there loneliness as well? Cause they're on the job alone. Is that the similarity?
They're on the job, but they're not alone. They're with a whole lot of people that they can't get touch from because of workplace harassment, or because they can't mix higher ups with the employees, or they're running their business 80 hours a week. So they don't have time to go out and foster relationships to get that touch met.
Wow. This is so interesting. This is so not the demographic that I thought we were going to talk about. It's also interesting, too,
because, a lot of men are kind of subconsciously, culturally told about, you're allowed to have two emotions, fine and angry.
That's right.
You know, and all that sort of thing. So you're kind of helping. I think you're tapping into a segment of men who recognize that there's something missing and don't necessarily know what to do about it.
Yeah.
Though they come to you to, figure out is like, I feel this hole, this gap, there's something wrong, and like, help me fix this.
Yes. This is where I want to go, though. Yeah. This is where I want to go. I'm like, I am very, very curious as to how these people come to find. I just, when it comes to this particular demographic, and I mean, I'm literally just drawing like very major generalizations. I'm like, in my head, I can see some resistance to something like heavy resistance to the, even the idea of something like this, especially being like a masculine blue collar male and a tech like entrepreneur. I just visualize those things as like very masculine, like, you know, kind of blinders, like type of, I don't know. I'm curious how they even found, do they meet you at events, or like they're finding you through, how did these people find you, and did they, were they looking for cuddle? How did they come?
Yeah, it's cuddle therapy. They're looking for touch. They're typing into Google touch therapy or trauma or
how did they even start? How did they even,
where did they, how'd they get there? I don't know. Because they're already in their messy middle.
Yeah, I would say I would want to know like what searches they're putting into Google, Bing, whatever.
When you talk to them, what are their stories that think of, maybe just a couple people right now, like when you've spoken to them about their journeys, do you remember what any of them said specifically when they first started coming to you, of like what got them interested in this?
Yeah, 95% of my people are in therapy and their therapists tell them they need touch.
This is it. Okay, okay.
That's an affiliate route. One thing I wanted to curious what you think of this. So on Facebook, you can see what advertising campaigns of other companies. And I'd be very curious, because I almost guarantee you Cuddlist is advertising on Meta in some way.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'd be really curious what ad campaigns Cuddlist is running. And usually what you do is you sort for the ones they've run the longest. Because if they're running longest, that usually means they're working.
Okay.
And basically, I would want to reverse engineer their ads that are working, since it's the same industry, and incorporate that into your SEO.
Okay.
What do you think?
Sounds amazing.
Correct. Yeah. I was thinking for Facebook. Is that what you were saying? Or you were thinking for Google?
Well, I was talking, I mean, yes, we can do Google ads, but I was saying use the Google ads to figure out what the SEO parameters should be.
Oh, yeah.
Like how, like what are people searching for that makes them find Cuddlist? And then reverse engineer that to help them find you directly.
Oh, 1,000%. Yes, 1,000%.
Yes, they're typing in Cuddle Denver and I'm the first one to pop up. So they're definitely doing
right,
that.
I'm thinking about the people who have not thought of Cuddle, the word Cuddle,
the
specifically.
Word, yeah.
Like you mentioned some possibilities like touch therapy or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyways, you were about to do something. I like interrupted.
No, that's okay. We just hit something really important. Because I'm like, I was like so lost for a second as to how these men just randomly woke up one day after working on a roof and being like, I need cuddle therapy. That's not what happened.
That was
that's not what happened. So we figured out that they had been through alternative methods of therapy.
Yeah.
Right. Which we love, because that means that these people are invested in solutions. I believe that if they've taken actions in the past of alternatives that are besides you, like that actually makes them more of a qualified lead for you.
Yes.
And so what was important about what you said was it was recommended by therapists.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, do you have relationships with therapists? Like I feel like these particular people, do you think that all of them were recommended by therapists to come to cuddle therapy? Okay, so what else is going on? Yeah, what else?
I don't know. I'd probably guess 20% of them just found me online.
And when you talked about that, when try to think back when they first came to you or you visited their home, like, were they nervous? What were they saying?
Oh my gosh,
okay.
So nervous, so concerned, worried that there was shame and guilt even wrapped up in whatever they searched. Because when you search cuddles, what comes up?
Right.
Like, we're not the only people in this touch industry, in this touch world. Yeah. They're going to go through a lot of different touch things before they realize, oh my gosh, I just need to be held. I don't need the sex. I don't need the dating world. I don't even have time for the relationships. But I still need to be touched.
Do you think that some of them did start with the more
100%
sexual?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Okay. So you would say maybe like 20% of these people were actually like doing the work, and then were recommended from a therapist to pursue cuddle therapy, and then maybe some of these other men, typically men, were potentially, you know, seeking out other types of sexual in nature, you know, resources to try to fill a void of some type. And then eventually, through doing more and more research, found cuddle therapy and were like, oh, this is what I need.
Have you incorporated any of that into your SEO? Like, I'm curious, what have you optimized for?
Oh, goodness. So I did, and I was doing blog writing, and I wrote this one blog to talk about our work being non-sexual platonic touch. And I had a massive influx of people looking for sexual touch in Denver. And I was like, where is this coming from? Why do I keep getting all of the people that want this when I offer this? It was because my SEO was actually working. And I had to go back through that article and remove a bunch of this stuff because non-hyphen sexual was in there and it was only picking up the sexual touch.
Right. It was Google's thing is not reading it as one word, but two. Right.
Which is what I learned through that SEO process was, you're
getting
actually
some false
that.
Positives.
Yes.
But I was thinking from an impact where said, I mean, it's tricky because you don't want to be constantly solicited for things you don't want to do. But on the other hand, there could be, it'd be nice to redirect some people from the unhealthy outlets.
I was just going to say, what if you utilize that? Because it sounds like the men who actually come into your ecosystem and the ones, because we're analyzing just your top ones right now. Let's remind everyone. They're coming from the therapist and they're coming from sexual, they learned themselves, who knows how long it took them to get from the sexual searches to figure out that there's something better that they actually needed.
Right.
What if you were the one to bridge that gap of education to make that a shorter learning curve for them? And what if you did that through a first touch point of some sort that was maybe a group setting of some sort? So it's not one-on-one, and you're forced to deal with all these people coming in one-on-one, which is a lot of your energy. What if you were able to give them some type of resources, or maybe the events, certain events, were geared towards those type of people, and you're actually teaching them what this is, and maybe you need this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it doesn't start with just automatic in-person event, but maybe it's some type of like video resource or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would love that because it would save me so much time in my 15-minute intro call with them where I'm either weeding them out or educating them on what I do offer. So that is part of the screening process. It is part of how I can handle their objection of like, no, that's not actually what I'm looking for. And I was like, well, let's try it on. Let's see. When was the last time you had a hug? And then they're like, oh, just a hug that didn't lead anywhere? And I was like, yeah, just a hug. And it opens their eyes a little bit more that maybe that's what they need.
What other types of questions do you ask to make them? I want to know what you're asking them or what you're talking about in that moment in time that changes their mind. Let's talk about
it. Ooh, what changes their mind? So when I ask them if they've previously already seen a sex worker, if they've already seen a massage therapist that does a little extra, why did you come to me? Where was that missing gap? And they'll tell me, I think that it was fine for what it was, but it didn't fill what was missing. It didn't fill what I needed. I needed connection. Yeah. I needed to just be held. I needed emotional security. I needed safety. A massage therapist can't offer that. A physical therapist can't offer that. A sex worker is definitely not going to offer that. And they're still searching. So they are. They're going through the different people trying to be filling of this void that feels safe. And they come to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And that's why they leave and come back.
Yeah.
Because they've finally found something that feels safe, secure, held, understood, validated, while they still go to their therapist and do the work.
Wow.
So to be clear, because we're talking about ideal avatars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are some of your best recurring clients, are those people who have explored other things before coming to you primarily?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's why we're saying
and
that.
Also in therapy.
Oh, yeah.
20%, only 20% though. And the other 80, that's why I'm focusing so much on this. I'm like, these men are big. Like, okay. And I believe that you can be part of the edge. I think we might need to zoom out a little bit and be like, how can we make your funnel more of an education funnel that saves you time while also impacting and resonating with more people, because you're only one human and we need to like streamline this for you. So I'm like, even in my head, like, you literally did something that hadn't had a result. You asked a question about the SEO. Mm-hmm. You talked about the word sex being in your SEO and how it skyrocketed things for a second. But then you were like, oh no, let's turn this off. What if you did that again, but we built a landing page that educated people on every single thing that you do on your call on that page.
That would be amazing.
Literally, even it could even have a questionnaire of saying, oh, you don't think it's for you? Like, what about first question? When was the last time you had a hug? Mm. Or whatever that is, right? Yes. Like, let's make a video of you saying all these things that you just mentioned of, like, you've tried going to the sex worker. You went last week. I want to hear the specific stories that you know you've heard.
Oh, yeah.
And literally say that to people, because that will make them feel like you understand them.
Yes.
Because you do. Yeah. But you're not saying any of that. Like, the picture on your website is, like, in this nice little, like, that's not a blue-collar worker. Like, first of all. Second of all, anyway, I'm like pumped about this, and I think it's like not at all what I thought we were going to dive into, but I feel like there's something there, especially with the fact that you've already tested this and like gotten the traffic. And this is where 80%, you're telling me this is where 80% of your top customers are, minds are, and this is how they find you.
Yeah.
But I will say again, how freaking long did it take them to find Cuddle Therapy and you after trying all the different things that they had tried before that? And I feel like there's a world in which you shorten that learning and impact more people. I think that is something I would really like to explore.
Awesome.
Is that like resonating?
Yeah, I totally love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love working with therapists that send me clients.
Also
because
that.
Because they're...
Have you networked with any therapists currently?
That was going to be the other part.
Okay, how did you find them?
On ASECT. It's this association of sex educators and sex people that do the therapy, and then I get to be the physical therapist that does the work with the client that's like, okay, so when you are doing work with this therapist, you get homework and you bring it to me, and we will work on the safe touch so that you can go out and actually have meaningful connection that may or may not lead to sex, but you got here through a sex therapist. Let's work on the touch that leads to that so that you're safe and you're not hurting other people that didn't bleed on you.
Wow. So what of the 99 clients that you had last year, roughly how many of them came through that channel? Through the, and we're talking about coming through therapists. We're talking specifically sex therapists. Or like people dealing, or just like general therapists?
General therapists.
Okay.
The sex therapist thing came in this year when one of them reached out to me after that article went live in February.
Okay.
And they said, oh my gosh, I've been looking all over for somebody that can do this because I can't.
We need to get that article back up because, because I mean, it sounds like it was getting, and it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're comfortable with some of the redirection.
Yeah.
Aspect of it. We don't want to necessarily overwhelm you with leads, but I mean, you know,
I'll take it. It's what they need.
If you have to
turn
people
away, for the cuddles, they pay us for the boundaries. They pay us to keep the container. They don't even necessarily need the touch. They need to be able to be held in a space of consent and talking and having these conversations that they're not having out in the world.
Yeah, I will say again, I genuinely think that this type of messaging, on whether it's a one-off landing page or on your website, this is where you would send any relationships you do have with sex therapists.
Yeah.
You would send them this URL and be like, send your sex therapist patients to this page that talks about,
or any therapist really.
Yeah,
I think that we need to be specific, but I mean, I would recommend having, like, I'm calling it a sex page, but basically the focus is...
That's fine. As long as
redirect.
I can redirect them.
We might hear a part of the death page.
Redirect page.
The redirect page. Yeah. Correct. And I think it's probably the same page. We can talk about that, but that you would kill two birds with one stone here. But it sounds like that's what you need, I believe, is this page that does all of that entire call that you do for you. And then what is I want to know what that next touch point is. But what we have so far, I believe, is pretty totally different direction than what you were doing. But I feel like it will allow you to now run ads to this page or do more SEO to this page. You can test paid ads as well with those type of keywords. And and then get those people to this page while also using that URL to be the one that you have therapists direct patients to directly, of the ones that you have relationships with.
Yeah.
So that is like, I believe that if that works and if we can like prove that out, then put it all over your website. Like, okay, that's what I would highly recommend doing. The beauty of landing pages, what I love about landing pages, is they can be like a one-off test and you can just build this one thing. It has no navigation. Landing page is like meant to just kind of keep people focused, like blinders on one thing. I think, you know, but, anyway, that would be the purpose of testing that page. But I would want to know from you, what's the next step after you do talk to somebody like this who is like, wow, I realized you're right. I haven't had a hug, or you're right. This is what I need. What is the thing that they book then? Do they do a one-on-one typically?
Yep. Just one? And a 2-hour session. Yeah.
2-hour session. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. And after that, and we're talking about your top clients here, you're saying that they just kind of book again every week or up to 3 months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
For the ones, how many of them would be like week versus three, like versus month? Like, I'm trying to understand.
The majority sees me once a month.
Once a month. That's what I'm thinking.
I have 2 to 3 regular clients that are every week to 10 days, 3 times a month.
Cool. I feel like, would you say that the moment of like, wow, I'm all in happens after the first session?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would think. So in my mind, I'm like, what do we do to get them into the first session?
Yeah.
Because I think once you kind of have them there and they realize the impact of this, you kind of have potentially a customer forever.
Yep.
So the goal of what your offer would be then on your landing page would be something that would hopefully, ideally, like people just don't want to say no to, or they're like, this is a no-brainer for me. Obviously, the messaging that we're putting out there is going to be so resonant with them, because you're going to be literally telling their story in their words through a video, through text. Like, I want to have like, this is you, this is you, this is you, like little check marks of like, again, like, okay, you saw a sex worker last week. Again, I'm using hypotheticals. You're going to actually tell me these stories, and you don't have, you're not going to say, Bob told me this. You're just literally going to use the same words that you heard in these 2-hour sessions. And we're literally going to put it in storytelling form on this page. And then, and then saying to them, you've tried all these things, and here's where you're at, and here's how you're still feeling.
Yes.
So if you keep doing the same thing, you already know where that gets you.
Mm-hmm. With some
Who's
going to
argue with that? Yes. Well, yeah. I'm going down the page, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's like, solution. Have you heard of cuddle therapy? I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And literally go through like how you talk to men as they're like, no, that's not for me. And you say, I know what you're thinking. But when was the last time you had a real hug?
Mm-hmm.
Ask these questions to yourself. Then it's like, don't want to listen to me. That's fine. Let's see what other people have to say. And it's the testimonials of the people.
Okay.
I think if you can get some videos of men that are blue collar men, I know, but
maybe with their backs turned with a voiceover so that they don't.
If you can't, then make the testimonials, which they will have the names of men and then what they do for a living. So people can at least
first
resonate.
Name, like, oh, this is Jim. This is Jerry.
Yeah.
And he the roofing contractor. You can literally say those things. And and often
we want to make that connection of like, oh, this is for me.
And all of your branding, by the way, I didn't even go into that, but everything should be like probably a little bit blue, probably a little bit more masculine, probably just a little bit more to make them feel like they're at least like contextually safe.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Because if you put them on like a pink fluffy page, they're not going to want to listen to you.
Right? Absolutely not.
We can have a pink fluffy landing page for, you know, the women, but
No, exactly. And that's the point of a landing page, is we're testing everything on this page. Right.
Okay.
And so anyway, so, yes, then it's testimonials, and not just testimonials, but ones that they like will resonate with. So again, with male names, with professions that look like theirs, right? Technical, whatever rep.
Yeah.
And then, yes. And then we'll want to go into like, cool, we've bought them in now. At this point, they're like, wow. I didn't even know I was looking for this, but this girl like is literally speaking.
Me.
Yeah. Is speaking to me. All we have to do is make the ask, and we just want the ask to feel like a no brainer. So my question to you would be like, what's it worth it to you to get those people in the door? But at the same time, you know, what the success rate basically that you know of after the first session really is. And you're telling me it's high.
Yeah, they always come back. They always come back. So the people that I have seen on a one-off have been people that are there for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
And they typically actually make it through two or three sessions before they're like, oh, you're like really holding the boundary. Like, this really is not going anywhere. I'm like, yeah, this really is not going anywhere. I think you misheard me or chose not to listen.
Interesting.
But they do. I get two or three sessions out of them before they self-select.
Wow.
Or they end the session early, or they just don't reply to texts.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Roughly, like, what percentage of new clients would fall into that category?
Yeah.
Oh, my screening is so good these days. So it's not that's, common.
It's pretty low.
It's pretty low.
Well, yeah. That's good. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, we don't want you to be having to constantly push people away, especially yeah. men.
Uh-uh. Yeah. Yeah. No, of course not. This is such an interesting conversation. Going back to your top, though, your mm-hmm. top clients, because again, that is the path that they took. So we're still remembering that these are your top clients. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, of the ones that didn't take that path, like, of your non-top clients, mm-hmm. is that path the same for them? What makes those people different? Because I just want to make sure we're repelling. Because a good landing page magnetizes the people that you want and repels yeah. the ones that you don't. So I'm trying to make sure your offer and your messaging does that.
What was different about their path?
About their path about who they are?
They weren't in therapy.
Okay.
Who they are. They had failing businesses and failing relationships. Like repetitive failed relationships.
Mm.
With no introspection. Like, they were not willing to go, okay, why am I the common denominator?
Yep.
They really just wanted somebody to validate that they were wonderful and lovely
stroke
and fantastic. And it was,
okay. But I have a couple
questions.
Yeah.
Just kind of going back to some of this, the lead stuff. So is it like, because you're converting mostly men. Mm-hmm. Is it also mostly men that are reaching out to begin with, or is there like a large percentage of women that are not converting?
No, there's not a large percentage of women that are not converting.
Okay.
They're just not coming to see me. So that 20% that I do have of women are devout. Like they
right.
are equally as
and then
followed
is the
up.
Ratio of men to women similar in your group versus individual?
No, it's not.
It's like opposite?
No, not even opposite. It's 50-50.
Okay.
We've only had two events in 5 years where it has been 3 to 7 males and 1 female facilitator. And we've had an event every single month, at least 2, in Arvada and Boulder. So, no, I'm not seeing that on that side at all.
Okay, so for the one-on-one, primarily men reaching out, primarily mm-hmm. men converting. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, like, that was just a thought that I had, a question that I had. So are you wanting to, we're talking about growing your business. Are you okay with maintaining that ratio?
No, I want more women in my office.
Okay.
I love the women that I have in there. They're maternal. They're entrepreneurs. They're still trying to figure stuff out. They're multicultural. So they come from a culture that's like very community based where everybody's in the kitchen and everybody lives in the same house and we're all together doing things. And then I'm dropped into middle of America and have no touch, and I'm struggling.
So they're like international.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I mean, everything that Sarah just said was awesome, we should do that. But if you're also like, I want more of these international mm-hmm. women, then we
yeah.
should like target that too, you
yeah.
know, because I don't want you to feel like, oh, it's nothing but these like
no,
gross, sweaty
it's
men
good,
all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I was like laser focusing on your top, which mm-hmm. you mentioned were not those women. So
yeah.
I just, that's why I went there.
Yeah. No,
and
that's
I,
great.
And I do want to know, like, if you do want more women,
yeah.
But they aren't part of your top, why do you say that?
Why are they not part of my top?
Yeah. Or like, why do you think they're not in your top?
Women notice that they need less touch than men. Men need far more touch, and women will see me once a month or once every 3 months, and they'll come up with like a top up. We also do a lot. We tolerate a lot more running on empty
yes.
than men do. So I just see less of them because they're busier or they have other things going on. And then they're like, oh my gosh, I'm desperate. Like, I have a text on my phone right now from a woman I haven't seen in 6 months, still doing like a monthly outreach and a monthly touch. But she's like, do you have availability Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? I'm like, I'm booked like 3 weeks out. I'm so sorry. I can maybe try and squeeze you in, but she only needs it that often.
That's where surge pricing comes in, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
That's okay, interesting. It's almost like, for the women, do you feel like it's more like crisis management in a way? Yeah.
They come to me when there's a crisis.
Hear me out. Do you want to be building a business where you are being the person people come to when they are in crisis? Not because you don't want to help, but my question is because that's a last minute ask all the time. And so I guess there can be a yes answer to this question. I'm just saying we would need to build that into your business model in a way where, yes, there's surge pricing, or like maybe there's a specific type of membership that they have that allows them like access to you in that way where they can text you last minute. Like, cause that shouldn't be something that everybody can do.
Yeah.
And if you do enjoy working with these women, then yes, I do. I'm glad you brought this up. Again, the beauty of landing pages is the same. I would literally do a campaign with that type of page as well. If you wanted to test both of those, let's see who comes in the door. Let's see who you enjoy working with. Like, let's see how they work. And that's a great test.
But you are right. From a revenue perspective, recurring is a lot better. And then also from a calendar management perspective. Yeah.
Correct.
It's a lot easier.
So I'm a busy mom. There's absolutely no way I want that as part of my business plan or my model. I want to use that landing page to further educate them and tell them, hey, I get that you're going through crisis right now. And I know that you feel lonely and stuck and that you just can't manage this. How about we get you on a monthly subscription and you schedule it out like you schedule a massage?
That's what it is. That is what it is. And also, I think that the women especially will be more primed. These women to enroll in some type of upfront subscription. Especially if you say, like, when you do the subscription, you know, maybe this first thing is heavily discounted or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But you're enrolling them in a subscription that they have to do at least 3 months, let's just say.
Yeah.
So something like that. But also on that landing page, talk about the messaging. I want to say you are from another country. You are going through these things. Like, you came here, you all of a sudden have no touch. Like, actually say those things in the same way that we did with the men. And, I think that that's going to be very potent for them. And I love having multiple messaging and landing pages to test. I mean, there's probably 15 more that we can come up with, but I did start at your top customers for a reason, your top clients, because I wanted to find you more of them. But with that being said, I want another part of like what I really am like super passionate about is not just about like, yes, we want you to build your business and build your revenue, but we also want you to be building like the lifestyle you're trying to build. And I'm glad you brought that up because that was also where I was going to go next, of just like, what is the lifestyle you want to be building and like what lights you up the most? I always use that term because I really think if we lean into that there is no world in which it can go wrong for us. Like, it's going to be hard. Obviously entrepreneurship is like hard, but I think the more we can lean into what lights us up, the more it will feel light building it and not heavy.
Yes.
So I think you mentioned the women and maybe that's something that you are feeling a little bit lit up about.
Yes.
But I also know that you don't feel lit up about being in crisis management and last minute scheduling. So I like the idea of subscription for women with a landing page that speaks to those particular stories and that particular background and how this is something that they need to have an ongoing investment in, just like they would other appointments or maintenance of their maintenance of their body, you know, because it is. So
I have a thought related to what you're talking about with the subscription, and let me know if you think this would work for you, because it may or may not. What if we treat it almost like Audible? So with Audible, you pay a monthly fee, you get a credit.
Yep.
But the stipulation is that you the appointments require X amount of notice. It could be 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days.
I love that idea.
Yeah. So because then, I can and it rearrange. Also encourages people to see you more regularly as well.
Yeah.
So then you have a little bit more of the steadiness of the revenue with a built-in boundary. Talk about boundaries a lot with this business, right?
Yes.
Of time. That you treat it almost like Audible. It might work well. It may not, but it could be
worth a try. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I really like that setup of a subscription, or, you know, a membership of some type.
Yeah.
I think anything though, like that was where I'm like any type of on your website, you said you don't have any of that at all.
Mm-mm.
So just having anything built out and I think potentially testing them over time. I like that. I would start with that. That's a great idea. But yes, definitely. I feel like having some type of recurring revenue model for people who do need it. And it's not necessarily going to be something that we offer upfront to everybody, but it is going to be something that at a certain point in your sales funnel or, you know, basically in your customer journey as they come in the door and maybe done 1, 2, 3, whatever sessions with you. You present them that option.
Yeah.
And it obviously comes at a discount. And obviously that's baked into it being more... beneficial for you.
Yeah.
So it's worth that discount always. So I really like that. But any type of subscription, honestly, in my opinion, would be something I 1000%, if you take anything away from this, like just add it.
Do
I think we should just
somewhere.
Add it. People are asking for it. Yeah, like you literally said that. So I think that's really great. What were you going to say?
So what is your, kind of pivoting back to what Sarah was talking about with lifestyle touring to build, what is kind of your long-term goal with this business? And you know, we talked about for this year wanting to get to 200, which is great.
Yeah.
But long term, is this, are you wanting this to be a part-time thing, a full-time thing, eventually scale it to where you're more just running it and other people are handling the actual cuddling,
so like, you can work more in the mentorship?
Yeah, like what is the long-term big picture of where we're trying to go?
Yeah, long-term big picture, I would love to have 4 people that I have personally coached and taught that they have done a certain amount of hours or sessions with me so that I can guarantee their work, that I can then move them through with their clients that either I source or I get for them, or that they just can offer at a better rate than what I can without my expertise. And I would love to run the back end, and I would love to continue getting them new clients. But I do want to step away from doing the active cuddling while getting a chance to still be in the world and doing the same work, just not the person doing it all the time.
You get to be like the mama.
Yeah.
Running the show.
Yeah.
I love that. And then in terms of how we're trying to move toward getting there, do you feel like there are any avenues where we could get more out of Cuddlist, or I keep wanting to say Cuddle Finder for whatever reason, but whatever the other one is. Do you feel like you've kind of maxed out the potential of those, or are there ways that we can get more out of that?
There's probably more ways that we could get more out of it somehow. I don't know the numbers of the other people in our industry that are getting a lot of their referrals from there. And I would want to study their profiles and like figure out what is working for them and what is like drawing in the clients for them. But I'm also the only cuddle therapist here that specifically works with trauma-based clients. I see those people. Everybody else has a different niche in that space that they do more of the, I don't want to, it's like lazy cuddling, but it's just laying around, hanging out, not really doing coaching, but just loving on them.
Well, I think of it as like the difference between like a fluff massage and a sports massage.
That's right.
You know, because there's a different level of expertise. I've learned if I actually have pain, I go to a sports masseuse because they really get in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I, go ahead.
Oh, so, but I don't want to overwhelm you. It's like too many suggestions. I think like what
Sarah...
Oh,
I love them all.
Well,
keep going.
But I also like from a time perspective, like I think it's best to just pick a strategy and like run with that hardcore, at least for a few months to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because if you kind of like shotgun it, then it's not going to work as well. So of these different ideas of like either trying to invest more into getting out of Cuddlist, doing a landing page more catered toward the male clients, or doing a landing page more catered toward the female clients, or networking folk really focusing on the therapist networking side, which of those 4, and I don't know if there's another one, but which of those 4 avenues lights you up the most and do you feel like is the biggest point of leverage for the growth?
Ooh, great question. In real estate, we talk about the 4 pillars of leads that we get. So I've actually been focusing on all of those. I have a meeting that I'm going to speak at for ASECT here in the next quarter that I'll be in front of 20 to 200. It could vary every month based on these therapists that I've already sent out an email to, introducing them to that article, sharing with them the work that we do, sending a follow-up email saying, hey, this is actually a real person back here. I know AI writes all of our emails for us, but it's me. Right. I am here. I would love to book a call with you. I want to get to know you. So a lot of that part's already happening. I would love to also focus on a landing page for these avatars that are wildly different.
Yeah.
And help them both equally in the same regard, and managing that SEO so that I'm getting the people that want to find me and educating them in a way that will allow them to come in for a session and realize that the services they're looking for can actually be found without the other part that they keep being left empty with.
Yeah. I love that. Like you said, there is we've talked about a lot, today, but, I lost my train of thought.
it happens. I mean, I know
I was
going to
say
hour.
Something and then I was like, wait, I was really going,
what pillars light you up the most to build out? From those options.
I just think that I feel like everybody has, you clearly have, you started this for a reason. Yeah. And it's you're meant to serve a certain type of person. Not everyone.
Yeah.
No. Not everyone. I think this is where I was going. The more you niche down, and you already sounds like you do have a niche.
Yeah.
The more you niche down, the more people some people think of niching as oh, I'm isolating people. Mm-mm. You don't seem that way. Mm-mm. But I just feel the more you keep doing that, the more personal and the perfect match you will seem for the people that are right for you.
Yes.
Which are these people that we've talked about. And are these people that are your top people that you would duplicate. You told me you would duplicate. And so when it comes to building a life that you want and the business that you want, and even when you step out of it, the clients you would want your team to have, yeah. It all starts with that. And so I think the other side of that with the niching is you just said that you were the only one in our area. And you seem like an incredibly sweet and amazing person, and you are trying to put out your value into the world. And I see that. I will say, as you continue niching down into even more specifics of this type of messaging and specifics of the trauma and specifics of their background, guess what, girl? You're going to become more and more in demand for what you do that no one else does.
Yeah.
And the reality is your pricing is going to reflect that. And I believe that you can probably increase it right now.
Yeah.
And I also think that when it comes to the subscription model that we talked about, which is another suggestion that we talked about, I do think that that is a really great way to raise your pricing while keeping it the same for subscription.
Yeah.
So if you join the membership, it's now the same price.
Okay.
So everybody, you still grandfathered in if you want this. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you the option, but it's going to go up. It's going to go up for everyone else if you're not in the. That's a really great way that I tell people to start thinking about raising your prices.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you don't have to do it right now because this is another suggestion, but you are already so niche now, but as we continue going more and more down, I want you to be pricing what you're worth.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's something to consider. If you do want to consider that, it would be a great time when you launch the membership subscription service offering to allow people to take that option to still be able to work with you at the same rates. And everybody else, this is what it's going to.
I love this suggestion, and we deal with this every first quarter of the year when we're looking at the rates in other cities and with other professionals that have had X amount of years of experience, and it is always such a tricky, hard thing to figure out. So the way that my model currently works is that all new clients that come in are at the current rate.
Mm-hmm.
So all past clients stay at the rate that they were when they came in. So I have clients that were at the $80 an hour, at the $100 an hour, at the $120. And you know what happens? I notice my own resentment coming up. I'm like, but they don't value me.
Of course you do. But yeah. Of course you do.
But the way to pitch it is you say hey, prices are raising, but since you've been with me, for the next 3 months, you get to keep it. But the other thing, so I was remembering for a while I had a membership at Denver Sports Massage because I kept having recurring pain in my shoulder. And so the membership gives you the one massage a month. If you want more, then you get 15 or 20% off additional ones.
Okay.
And you can use your membership to buy massages for other people.
Ooh.
So that's a great way to get referrals too.
Yes.
And then, you know, you could say like, oh, it's only if they're brand new, first time or whatever. Actually, I learned recently, speaking of memberships, I have another membership to like a haircut place. And I didn't even know I have 10 times a year I could give someone a free haircut if they've never been before. And I didn't even know that.
That's a brilliant referral marketing.
I really like that. Like,
so you can play around with some of those things, you know, and obviously like part of what you offer is so time consuming that, you know, maybe half off is better than free or something. Yeah. But that if people get rewarded for referring people, that could really help out.
That was the last thing. I know we've
covered
then,
like,
a
your
lot.
Cost to acquire a customer is whatever the
way
promo
down.
Is. Rather
I think having a referral program is something I would 1,000% prioritize.
I'd do that tomorrow.
Because, because you're already getting 30%. Yeah. How much more can we do? And it sounds like if the people who are referring, or wait, are the people who are referring you the people in your top?
They're not in my top, and I don't love the clients that they send me.
That was another thing. Yeah,
but okay. We would want some of them.
So hear me out. We would want to build a referral program for your top. What do they want? What do those guys want?
They don't talk about me.
That's fine, but let's
they don't share that they see me.
Yeah,
there's you know, it's kind of like, I mean, therapy was 10 years ago, right? It's,
yeah,
it's a little bit you have to overcome some stigmas and some social stuff,
but
there's still, you know, people who will definitely refer, and you may get more referrals from women.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
But in terms of, you obviously want, in an ideal unicorns rainbows world, you want your ideal people to be referring others. And I see this. I see that's probably a really a difficult thing to navigate when it comes to those men in particular. Mm-hmm. But I still think a referral program in general would work really, really well.
Okay.
And I think potentially, if you have it, maybe one or two of them take you up on it. Maybe in some world they eventually find someone that like they really think needs this too, and they're close with them. You never know. So
I just had a light bulb go off about regular clients that come to my community cuddle events also, because I can craft something to convert those people with an offer also.
Yes.
But I have one client that is coming an hour and a half late, and there's a rule that we have. You cannot come late if you haven't been to X amount, because there's a welcome circle. Mm. Everybody has to know the rules. So she gets to come late because of that, but she's bringing three people for Friday night.
Yeah.
Do I craft a referral program for those people that I absolutely love and adore in this community, that if they bring two or three friends with them, their ticket's free?
Yes.
Yes.
1,000%. Their ticket's free, or they
they can have a session with me.
Correct.
But
only the people that you think they might convert. Like, I don't want you to be wasted, because you just said that they
I was going to say, because
I
don't know. Sarah, you can tell me what you think, but my first instinct is like, we got to fix the 10% conversion.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, who are these people? Because we need more of them coming to your events.
Yeah.
And so
these people, they don't cross over.
That's exactly what that's
they don't ever cross.
That's the problem. Yeah. So it may be I think the events might not be, to your point, yes, there's an issue there, but we just came up with a whole other funnel for these people. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really know if the events is where we want to focus on getting these blue collar men to the events. I don't think it's happening. But at the same time, increasing the conversion rate on these people, it is.
These are the people that I want to see over here.
Right. But it's like, but they're also.
They may
you
be.
Said,
I mean, but if they're cash constrained, they're cash constrained.
You said they're cash constrained.
They are. So,
so
they may not really be the ideal avatar from like a.
What about person? So not one-on-one, but group cuddles that are at their home, like that on like their time.
That is another thing that a client came to me with and said, how much would you charge if I didn't want to have to deal with all of the other things that come in to a community cuddle with 20 people? Can I just pay you to do it
private
with four
party,
people?
Private party. I think that that's something.
Okay.
I think that that's something, because they'll be able to afford it, and you'll be able to do your normal rate.
Yeah.
Like, charge your rate for them, like, but make it split between them.
That's what they are excited about. Is
literally,
that it will split.
Literally, yes. This is how we convert those people, because now they're actually coming with the literal group.
Yes,
that
an
you can be like,
three.
Hi, I will literally doing a 3-person party for this rate. Like, this is what I do now, and you just brought these people. Let's do it again.
Okay.
I think that's beautiful. And I think that that allows you to value your time while still serving the people in a way that's going to impact them, but on their, like, in a more personal and intimate setting.
Yes.
I love that so much. And I think that that also will have its own offer on your site slash potentially a quick little landing page. But you can never have enough landing pages. But yeah, no, I think that's how we fix that problem. I think that's something you can say at the event. You can announce at your next event. I'm starting a new program where, one part of the program is whenever you bring people, whatever the number is you want, whatever makes sense to you, one, two, three people, you get your ticket free, and you get entered into a drawing for one of my new service, let's just say, which is the, I don't know what we're calling it, but we're calling it the intimate group gathering, basically. And that's how you then launch the intimate group gatherings. Oh, and that's a new service I'm doing. I'm doing groups of three to however much eight. Mm-hmm. And I come to you and we make it this thing. It's like my one-on-one sessions, but with your buddies,
With your people.
And with your people, and you share in it, and it's much more accessible as well. And
maybe not the word intimate, though.
Not that. No, that was a red flaggy word. We won't use that. It's
sorry
fine.
About that.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. I know. Like, I like love the word intimate because I just think it's like close and amazing. Yeah. Okay, anyway. But it could be even fun to do like a drawing for the first one too. And that gets even more people wanting to bring more people to the next event. And then you announce at the event, oh my God, Susan and her friends won. So we're going to do her yours this month. Anyone else who wants to sign up for one, here's the QR code for signing up for that thing.
Gosh,
and that
yes.
it gets people really into it.
Yeah.
And it also gives you the first, like, just do the first one and be like, I know you can do it, but just do the first one and get some feedback, get some testimonials about the group one.
Okay.
And I think that's all that will solve, that will at least hopefully combat some of your conversion issues because it's like the price is the issue there.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about that other than leverage.
Right.
So I think that's,
great.
That's where I'll go with that.
Well,
that's amazing.
At the risk of overwhelming you with a million ideas.
Yeah.
I think we should probably wrap up here. How are you feeling?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all of these ideas float around in my own head or I'll hear it from clients where they'll request this or request that. And I'm like, I can't add anything more to my plate. Like, there's just no more.
That's real.
So I love that it came out of your mouth and not just my head, because it does. It makes it more real and it creates a community around all of these ideas that, this is possible. If somebody else came up with the same conclusion, maybe there's some realness, some groundedness in that.
Totally.
So,
and it is a lot, and I know you have a lot going on, but I'm here, we'll chat, and I feel like it's just prioritization, and it's not as scary, like, I'm talking about 15 million landing pages. It's really not. It's like we duplicate the one and we change the messaging. Like, or, you know, it's literally just updating the services on your page. Yeah. Like, we can do it in an hour. Like, anyway, so I feel like it's a lot to take in, but
I'm leaving
excited.
With like a priority list in my head, like a referral program is happening before Friday because people need that.
Yeah.
And then creating some structure around this private. Special small group gathering.
Group. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the offer portion, the offer of that like announcement, I would say, of like the incentive of the free ticket if you bring people, which is part of it, because that's building the community in itself.
Yeah.
Like, people will come with the people that they will convert, you know? Yep. And then saying, also, you will be entered into, when you bring these people, you get the free ticket and you get entered into the drawing for the group thing.
For your own. That's free. Yeah.
Right. Or half off, whatever that is.
Okay.
You don't have to do that way. You can just do the free ticket or you can do one or the other. But I like the idea of launching it in a fun way like that.
Yes.
And then the next one you do, you actually bring it back up and you say, hey, we did this. These people got it. You're gonna get it. Yeah. They're going to give a testimony. Like, does anyone else want it? Here's the QR code for it. Yes. And then, and then we can talk more about if you want to do more targeted landing pages or website updates for certain avatars that I don't think you're speaking to at all right now. And I'll just be brutally honest. Site is like pretty and nice. It's just like, I don't know who we're speaking to. I don't know what this is about. I just know that you cuddle. And I feel like we got so much deeper, you know, and I want people to know, like this stuff we talked about, because then that's how we connect with them. So I think that this is all great.
Speaking of connecting, Jen, how can people connect with you?
I would love text messages. It is the easiest way for people to reach me at all times. So on my phone number, can I just tell it to them? Yeah. 720-523-3545. Or my website is going to have these lovely landing pages here very soon. And I'm on Facebook. What is your website address? CuddleGen.com.
CuddleGen.com. Yeah, that's easy to remember.
It's so good.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And Sarah, for those who have been listening and be like, wow, Sarah knows a lot about business and strategy. I want her to help me with my business. What's the best way for people to reach you?
I'm currently building my website, so it's not live right now, but it will be efinery, efinery.co. It'll be ready in like a week. But
dot
otherwise,
co, not dot
co.
Co.
Co. Okay. They didn't have com.
Drop the M.
I'll get com eventually, you guys. But you can also text me. I love that, actually. Yeah. My number is from Jersey, 201-572-8300.
Love that.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for thanks hosting.
For, yeah, thanks
and
for coming,
being
Jen.
In it and doing this. Like, this is
has
a
been
big
great.
First step.
It's
yeah.
been super fun.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the next guest that we have because I'm like, this is just super fun for me.
The setup is awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, and we thank you all for watching and tuning in. If you made it through all of this, you're a trooper. But hopefully you got something out of it. And we will see you in the next one.